Hello, this is Bruce Johansson, Professor of Biblical Studies in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. Again, I am your host for our second lesson of Good Word during this fall quarter. To assist me, I am delighted again to welcome Dr. Pedrito Maynard Reed, Professor of Biblical Studies, Specialist in Missiology, author of many books, articles, and who works on our campus as Assistant to the President also for Diversity at Walla Walla University. Pedrito, welcome once again.
It's great to be back.
We started off with an overview of the Johannine, First John, Johannine Epistle, and now we are beginning to get into the text, which is what I think you and I both love to do.
Oh, excited about it.
John has no prescript, no identification of who he is. We talked about that last time. His style is very much like the author of the Gospel, and we think it's the same person, but he jumps right into the topic.
Which is not the style of a Greek letter. We call it the Epistles of John,
really,
and the Greek letter starts off, you know, Paul to the Ephesians, Paul to the Thessalonians. He's not doing that.
The only thing that smacks of letter is he repeats over and again, I'm writing to you, I'm writing to you. That repeats throughout the whole. At the end, there's no greetings, there's no, you know, he ends in a very strange way. He says, little children, keep yourself from idols. And that's the end.
That's amazing.
But the beginning. But
yeah, a powerful beginning there.
It's rich.
Oh.
Almost should read it.
Let's do that.
What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and grasped with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was manifested and we have seen it. And we testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us.
Almost sounds like a black preacher there.
Yes.
We testify.
He goes off on this little tangent about the life. And then he comes back to this seeing and hearing.
Yeah.
What we have seen, what we've heard, we
proclaim
also to you. So that you may have fellowship.
Oh, that's powerful. I hope we get to that.
Fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. And then what does all this bring to everybody?
Joy. Oh, boy.
That joy may be fulfilled.
Joy down in my heart.
You know, there's not enough joy that I hear among Christians.
And
really.
Fellowship and joy. And too often we go to church, in our little corner to get our individual blessing. And I read the New Testament and I find people come for fellowship, and when they leave with joy. After reading this, you should not be somber and sad and have a donkey face, long face Christianity.
You
should be happy because you there's fellowship with God, there's fellowship with fellow believers, and there is joy.
Fullness of life.
Fullness of life.
Yeah. You know, that word fellowship is something we should talk about a little bit. Koinonia.
Uh-huh.
Holding in common. It's not an abstract term. It's not just happy, ha-ha, hi, slap on the back, how are you, is it? It's people who not only share common beliefs, but have things in common.
Acts chapter 2.
That's right.
They baptized all those thousands, and they said in verse 42, and they, with the fellowship, they had the Apostles' Creed, prayer, and fellowship, and koinonia,
sharing.
And the breaking of bread.
Yeah.
All of them came together, had all things in common, and there was joy, and God blessed abundantly.
Yeah.
It was a foundation of the early Christian church. They didn't just spend time talking theology. A lot of theology is in John.
Yes.
You know, so he said, all of this has to come so that we have fellowship.
Theology is not the end goal.
Nope.
Fellowship is.
That's right.
And, you know, he goes on in chapter 3, he says, he who sees his brother lacking or in need.
Oh, I'm anxious to get to that.
if he closes his heart to them, how can he love God? How can he love God? So this is very concrete.
Which shows the practicality of these books.
That's right. We too
often in the West spend time doing the cognitive rationalization instead of getting to what is it really getting at?
Yeah.
It's that concrete making it real to life. And that's what this is
there
all about.
There has to be a connection between what you believe and how you live.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Let's go back to the beginning, because that's where what you believe comes in. It's interesting in the Greek that the what there, or the that which, as it's often translated, is neuter. And it's very surprising because you'd expect it to refer to Jesus and be a masculine relative pronoun, but it's neuter. So you say, what was from the beginning? From the beginning.
So what is that what? What was from the beginning?
Typically in New Testament Greek, a relative neuter pronoun like that, in the context of other things said, refers to the whole idea, the whole concept, not just one person, just one thing. Usually it will agree with its the word it refers to, you know, in a very special way. Here it's just open. So this what is from the beginning. It's something heard. It's something seen with the eyes. You know, it's what we have looked at. And then he uses a word, selafau, to, it's not just touch. It's take hold of, grasp. So you move from the beginning, which is probably a reference to eternity, to a very in this world manifestation of Jesus.
Why would he do that? What is the nature of this? We said in the last week we talked about this heresy that they were having. If this could be addressing that the folks with this heretical ideas denied this, and he had to come up front to
do that. Especially in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 6 deal with that. And in verse 2, he talks about those who deny that Jesus came in the flesh. They didn't want the grasping. They didn't want the seeing. They didn't want the concrete manifestation. And that comes from a very interesting background.
And I think that is exactly what it's there, he's up front. And I think the same thing he's doing with them in the Gospel of John, as we'll come back to that part. There are these people who don't want the concrete manifestation, what we may address maybe like Docetists, Gnostics.
Yes.
And he's trying to say, this thing is concrete.
Yeah, very concrete. So he hits it right at the beginning.
Right up front.
The readers were probably kind of saying, what's all this, what? Then in verse 2, he spells it out. The life was manifested, we have seen it, we testify, we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father. And there you have a connection with Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word.
And the Logos. Now, does he use Logos here?
Logos, yes, he does. The Word of Life. The Logos.
It's the Word of Life. That's
a rich word in both Greek as well as Greek philosophy as well as the Old Testament.
That's right. I think I saw there was something there in Praise to the Gods where they use...
Or to Zeus.
To Zeus.
The Stoic poem where Zeus is praised. He's referred to your word should be one in all things, abiding forever. Zeus is the creator. The beginning of the world was from thee. Wow. So already with the Stoics, you have an idea of creator God in terms of word. So Greeks reading or listening to John would associate creator, would associate sustainer. And those are ideas you get in the prologue of John.
And you get a prologue of John. And then when you think of the Logos in the prologue of John, and it says, and the Word created, you go back to the Genesis, and it says, and God spoke.
Exactly.
How was creation done? It was done by the Word.
Yes.
So the Word is the creator, the Logos is the creator, Jesus is the Logos.
Yes.
The Word that God spoke is Jesus created.
Yes.
It's a very interesting.
Very
we sometimes just think, well, God opened his mouth and said, let there be light, and that's it. But the theology that is coming out of John is that saying, Jesus is the revelation of God who acts, who creates.
Yes.
And that's what the Logos does.
Yeah. So we're dealing with a very high Christology, actually.
Very, very high Christology.
If you go to the Old Testament in Psalms 33:6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made. There it picks up Genesis 1. And all their hosts by the... We know this text so well.
It's powerful.
For he spoke and it came to be, he commanded and it stood still.
So, and that's Jesus working.
Yes.
Looking at this through New Testament, it's Jesus who does this, that is the creator. against these the Gnostics, these Docetists, who don't want Jesus to be real.
That's right. It's very interesting that a dualistic worldview, where spirit is good and matter is evil, that's the kind of framework that they were coming from, and therefore they didn't want a Jesus, a flesh and blood Jesus. And that has consequences.
Yes.
For atonement.
Yes, exactly. Right.
And that's another topic.
Uh-huh.
In chapter 4, John repeats three times, God sent his son.
Yeah.
In chapter 2, verse 2, you hear again, Jesus is the atonement
mm-hmm.
for
mm-hmm.
our sins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in other places too. John doesn't just sit down and says, he doesn't just line up, these are all the bad things about you, your schismatics. He does it in a preaching manner, in a beautiful, almost poetic manner.
And it's not just theology to confound them. It affects you in real
yeah.
life. It affects the forgiveness of your sins and,
yeah.
and what Jesus has done for you as a member of his church.
So let's make a connection between theology and practice. What does incarnation have to do with fellowship? How do you get... Is there anything in common, incarnation, fellowship?
Because, you know, you think of Jesus leaving his throne and coming down to be with us. That's fellowship. You get the Philippians,
yeah.
him,
yeah.
you know, that he would humble himself enough to yeah. come, and that's what he came for. He's going to prove to the universe that mm-hmm. Adam didn't have to sin. Great theology in mm-hmm. Paul and all of that. Mm-hmm. But the incarnation of the Word coming down for a purpose
yes.
to be with us, to be part of us, to forgive our sins, and to experience what we experience so as to save us.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's interesting in this passage, if you look at it, John has a style where he does a lot of repetitions, as we said before. Even mm-hmm. set phrases get repeated. And we've seen how he repeats what was from the beginning, what we have heard, and then it repeats it again. There is a little word in there that repeats also. He was with the Father.
Uh-huh.
With the Father.
Here you go for
even in his eternity, it was a fellowship.
Oh, yeah. Go back to Genesis, mm-hmm. and it talks about let us.
Mm-hmm.
There is something about a fellowship of us, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, I know, we're working on what is the us, you know,
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you get that fellowship in eternity. God
yeah.
was a fellowship.
Yes. And then you go down later in this, and our fellowship, we're writing this that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with. So just the kind of fellowship that Jesus has with the Father, we can have with the Father and with his Son, so that with connects.
Absolutely.
Pedrito, this has been fun. What a rich text to work. And so I want to thank you again so much for your insights, for sharing, for our conversation. My thanks also to Michael White, program engineer, for Good Word. This is again Bruce Johansson. For more information about Good Word, you can visit the Positive Life Radio website at PLR.org. Look under Programs for Good Word.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.